Trump's behavior has been completely inexplicable lately. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest moments to explain is when he sat down for an interview with Fox News host Tucker Carlson. The two men were talking about Trump's issues with NATO, and they seemed focused on one country in particular.
Membership in NATO obligates the members to defend any other member that's attacked. That's so right. Let's say Montenegro, which joined last year, is attacked. Right. Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? Why is that?
I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. You know, Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people. They have very strong people. They have very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III.
That escalated quickly.
Welcome to the Wind Machine Podcast, not your average Eurovision podcast. My name's Danny Trigoning, and today I'm joined by the crap to my Pomodoro salad, Mark Perkins.
Thanks, Danny. I'm crap, am I?
It's actually smoked carp, but it's spelled K-R-A-P.
Someone's so dyslexic.
Crap.
Right.
My salad is basically bruschetta in salad.
Okay.
So it's onion and tomato.
Speaking of crap, though.
Yes.
What the heck was that intro?
Oh, look, the Don. The Don's decided he doesn't like Montenegro now.
They're strong, strong people. They're aggressive. And then all of a sudden you've got World War III.
What?
What the? This man's nuts.
Oh, goodness. Of all the countries in Europe.
Yeah.
You've decided to have a go about.
Yeah.
You start on Montenegro. Like, why?
Look, I think it's just the Don has verbal diarrhea pretty much 24/7.
I agree. Look, it's quite kind of weird. Is there any kind of scary bits in the history that we should worry about that someone may have told Donald about? Or do you think he's just...
Well, there's a little contention between Montenegro and Russia, let's say.
That's probably it.
Yes. Hmm. But this isn't about the politics of Donald J. Trump.
No, it's not. Last episode, we picked Montenegro out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom, and we're focusing on our favourites based on a jury of two.
We have...
Not Russell Morris.
This earworm-worthy tune from 2007.
Spaceman? Yes, please.
Get your suit on. It's made of linen and feathers.
And when you just want someone out of your life, your head and your bed.
Are you trying to tell me something?
No, it's not about you.
Oh, good.
So, let's begin.
Montenegro is a sovereign state in southeastern Europe. It has a coast on the Adriatic Sea to the southwest and is bordered by Croatia to the west, Bosnia and Herzegovina to the northwest, Serbia to the northeast, Kosovo to the east, and Albania to the southeast. Its capital and largest city is Podgorica. And look me, if you're listening to me now, I don't know if that's pronounced correctly, but I'm sure you'll correct me. Well, Sitenji, and that's probably wrong too, is designated as the old royal capital. Montenegro has attempted independence several times. After falling under Ottoman rule, Montenegro regained de facto independence in 1697. Montenegro's de jure independence was recognised by the Great Powers at the Congress of Berlin in 1878, following the Montenegrin-Ottoman War. In 1905, the country became a kingdom. After World War I, it became part of Yugoslavia. Following the breakup of Yugoslavia, the republics of Serbia and Montenegro together established a federation known as the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, which was renamed the State Union of Serbia and Montenegro in 2003. On the basis of an independence referendum held in May 2006, Montenegro declared independence on the 3rd of June of that year. Classified by the World Bank as an upper middle income country, Montenegro is a member of the UN, NATO, the World Trade Organization, and the Council of Europe. It is a founding member of the Union for the Mediterranean. And fun fact, Montenegro, translated into English, means Black Mountain.
The flag of Montenegro was officially adopted within the law of the state symbols and statehood on the day of Montenegro on the 13th of July 2004 at the proposal of the government. It was constituently sanctioned with the proclamation of the constitution on the 22nd of October 2007. It is a red banner with a broader golden edge all around the red field with a coat of arms of Montenegro in its centre. The charge is a two-headed eagle, a symbol of Byzantine and ultimately ancient Roman origin. It symbolises either the unity or the close connections between the church and the state. The coat of arms can be seen not only in public spaces, such as schools and government offices, but also in many private homes, places of business and private universities, due to it being a common display of national pride.
The official language of Montenegro is Montenegrin. Also, Serbian, Bosnian, Albanian and Croatian are recognised in usage. All of these languages, except Albanian, are mutually intelligible. According to a 2011 census, most citizens declared Serbian as their mother tongue. Montenegrin is the plurality mother tongue of the population under 18 years of age, although by a very narrow margin. In 2013, Matica Krongoska announced the results of public opinion research regarding the identity attitudes of the citizens of Montenegro, indicating that the majority of the population claims Montenegrin as their mother tongue. In Podgorica, some people do speak English. So you've got a bit of mix between Serbian and Montenegrin there.
Well, of course, and that reflects also in Eurovision itself. Uh-huh. So, you know, they're kind of, they're buddy-buddy, and they've only just recently, when you think about it.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
They've had a very nice breakup. It's very nice. I think we should go to our first song. From 2016, here's The Real Thing by Highway.
Yeah.
Highway is a Montenegrin band. They participated in the second season of X Factor Adria in 2015 and ended up in fourth place. The band consists of lead singer Petar Kosic, born 1995, guitarist and backup singers Marko Pesic, born 1994, and Luka Vavolvic, born in 1995. The song came 13th in the semi-final on 60 points.
Yeah.
We have to kind of talk a little bit about the hot women of Montenegro, because we do talk a little bit about hot men of Montenegro a little bit later with a certain song. But this seems to feature a dancing lady. The official clip, it's pretty much just your regular band clip.
Band in a warehouse playing on their instruments.
That's right. Yeah. But there's a dancing lady in a black leotard. And she's quite prominent in the whole clip.
Yeah.
For the Eurovision stage, we've got a different dancing lady and she's no longer in a black leotard. She's in something that kind of looks like bra and pants.
But the same concept's there. It's just obviously just the band on stage playing.
Of course, yeah.
Song.
So the staging is black, white and red. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of going to an AFLX match. They've got those kind of, you know, farting,
like,
psht, psht, psht. What do you call them? What do you call them? They're like bursts of smoke is the best way to say it. Look, if you haven't seen AFLX, you should really watch it at least once. We went and it's quite bizarre. But every time you do like a super goal...
Or the, yeah, the puffs of...
the puffs of smoke would
smoke,
come up.
Yeah,
so, of course, when we were watching this, we felt it was a little bit AFLX.
And it was very psychedelic. It was, there was lights and, yeah, smoke.
There was a
everywhere.
Lot going on. Mind you, we've found, especially with some of the official clips from Montenegro, there's a lot going on. It's basically, let's throw the kitchen sink at it. Now, our next song is actually... the first song that Montenegro performed at Eurovision as its own country.
Ah, that year is 2007. Here's Arje Kroci by Stevan Fadi.
Ajde, kroči, kroči i poskoči. Ti si meni zapala za oči. Čija si lijepa djevojko, poljubit ću tvoje crno oko. Čija si lijepa djevojko, poljubit ću tvoje crno oko. O, kako si lijepa kao sva mora. O, kad iz tvog oka budi se zora. Ljubavi, ajde kroči, kroči i poskoči. Ti si meni zapala za oči. Ajde kroči, kroči i poskoči. Da ih je sedam, nikome te ne dam. Ljubi me lijepa djevojko, da poletim kao sivi soko. Ljubi me lijepa djevojko, poletit ću kao sivi soko. O, kako si lijepa kao sva mora. O, kad iz tog oka budi se zora. Ljubavi, ajde kroči, kroči i poskoči. Ti si meni zapala za oči. Ajde kroči, kroči i poskoči. Da ih je sedam, nikome te ne dam. Mm.
Stephen Fadi, born 1986 in Kotor, is a Montenegrin singer and the first person to represent Montenegro at Eurovision. Stephen claims to have Scottish origin, aye, that he is descended from William Fadi, who came to Montenegro at that time known as Zita, and we'll talk about that in history, during the Crusades with King Richard I of England and decided to stay after falling in love with a local girl, as you do.
That's a pretty cool story.
He attempted to represent Serbia Montenegro twice before winning Montenegro Song in 2007. Arje Kroci translates to, come on, step in. What, piece of poo or what?
No, just come on, come in, come in.
Come in.
Come in.
Anyway, the song came 22nd in the semi-final on 33 points.
You know, the funny thing is, with the breakup of Serbia and Montenegro, I think Montenegro lucked out, really. Like, think of 2007, right?
Yes.
And Serbia, their first Eurovision.
And they
knocked it out of the park with Molitva. And then we're stuck with Arje Kroci, which came 22nd in that gigantic semi-final that they had in 2007.
They're like, okay, so we just split up as separate countries and we completely bollocksed it in Eurovision.
But the thing is, this song really is quite earworm
worthy. Oh, definitely, definitely.
Like, we were rocking out in, you know, even in the car to this today. The official clip, you kind of thought it was a little bit like Gwyneth Paltrow in Sliding Doors.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure.
It's a bit iffy what the storyline is. Of course, we show the band, but then there's two other storylines. Now, we're not really sure if the woman in both storylines is the same woman, but there's one kind of rock chick in a wedding dress with bikers. And then there's another one, and we don't know if it's the same woman, but she's having a very traditional wedding.
Yeah. Was it two versions of her history?
I don't know, but they both end up at the beach at different times.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe they're twins. We didn't think about that, did we?
No. It helps if we actually try and find a background to the song, perhaps.
No, what would you do that for? It ruins the fun. At Eurovision, I still think this is a pretty strong performance.
It was.
Our staging is tan. Everyone's kind of in tan, but we've got green lights, so it's kind of almost bush-like if you think about it. We've got two guitarists on stage, a drummer and two backup singers, and Stefan. I thought he was quite strong. We liked this song enough to actually ditch other songs that made the final. So that's kind of interesting, but that's what happens when you have a jury of two.
Exactly. So it's time for the hard stuff.
Okay. This looks quite meaty, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Let's knuckle down.
Mm-hmm.
In the 9th century, three Slavic principalities were located on the territory of Montenegro. Dulkja, roughly corresponding to the southern half, Travuna, the west, and Racia to the north. Dulkja gained its independence from the Byzantine Roman Empire in 1042. Over the next few decades, it expanded its territory to Nabian Racia and Bosnia and became a recognised kingdom. Its power started declining at the beginning of the 12th century, and by the 13th century, Zita had replaced it when referring to the realm. Now, I'm calling it Zita like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Do you think it's Zita or Zeta?
I'm going to go with Zita.
I think Zita sounds quite fancy.
Yeah.
In the late 14th century, southern Montenegro, which was called Zita, came under the rule of the Balsic noble family and then the Krnojevic noble family. And then by the 15th century, Zita was more often referred to as Montenegro. For a short time, Montenegro existed as a separate autonomous province from 1514 to 1528, another version of which existed again between 1597 and 1614. Large portions fell under the control of the Ottoman Empire from 1496 to 1878. In the 16th century, Montenegro developed a unique form of autonomy within the Ottoman Empire, permitting Montenegrin clans freedom from certain restrictions. Nevertheless, the Montenegrins were disgruntled with Ottoman rule because they were everywhere. Let's be serious. The footstool people came everywhere. And in the 17th century, raised numerous rebellions, which culminated in the defeat of the Ottomans in the Great Turkish War at the end of the century. Montenegrin military strategy was simple but effective. If the Ottomans came with 5,000 soldiers, the Montenegrins were able to withstand the force. If the Ottomans mustered more than the Montenegrins could withstand, the Montenegrins would burn everything and let the enemy starve.
They're strong, strong, aggressive people. And next thing you know, it's World War III.
Wow. That's pretty good, though, when you think about it. That's pretty clever.
Maybe Trump was onto something.
Oh, stop it. He's never onto anything. Yeah. Montenegro consisted of territories controlled by warlike clans. Most clans had a chieftain who was not permitted to assume the title unless he proved he was a worthy leader as his predecessor. Parts of the territory were controlled by the Republic of Venice and the First French Empire and Austria-Hungary and its successors. In 1515, Montenegro became a theocracy led by the Metropolitan of Montenegro and the Littoral.
Under Nicholas I, the principality was enlarged several times in the Montenegro-Turkish Wars and was recognised as independent in 1878. Under the rule of Nicholas I, diplomatic relations were established with the Ottoman Empire. Modernization of the state followed, culminating with the draft of a constitution in 1905. However, political rifts emerged between the reigning People's Party, who supported the process of democratization and union with Serbia, and those of the True People's Party, who were monarchists. During this period, one of the major Montenegrin victories over the Ottomans occurred. The glory of Montenegrin victory was immortalized in the songs and literature of all the South Slavs, in particular the Montenegrins in Vojvodina, then part of Austria-Hungary. This forced the great powers to officially demarcate the borders between Montenegro and the Ottoman Empire, de facto recognizing Montenegro's independence. In 1910, Montenegro became a kingdom, and as a result of the Balkan Wars in 1912 and 1913, a common border with Serbia was established. Montenegro was among the Allied powers during World War I. From 1916 to October 1918, Montenegro was occupied by Austria-Hungary. During the occupation, King Nicholas fled the country and a government in exile was set up in Bordeaux. In 1922, Montenegro formally became the Oblast of Cetinje in the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes, with the addition of the coastal areas around Budva and the Bay of Kotor. In a further restructuring in 1929, it became a part of a larger Zeta Banate of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia that reached the Neretva River.
Wind Machine Podcast.
In April 1941, Nazi Germany, the Kingdom of Italy, and other Axis allies attacked and occupied the Kingdom of Yugoslavia. Italian forces occupied Montenegro and established it as a puppet kingdom. In May, the Montenegrin branch of the Communist Party of Yugoslavia started preparations for an uprising planned in mid-July. The Communist Party and its Youth League organised 6,000 of its members into detachments prepared for guerrilla warfare. The first armed uprising in Nazi-occupied Europe happened on the 13th of July, 1941, in Montenegro. They're very strong people. Unexpectedly, the uprising took hold, and by the 20th of July, 32,000 men and women had joined the fight. Except for the coast and major towns, which were besieged, Montenegro was mostly liberated. The uprising lasted until mid-August, when it was suppressed by a counter-offensive of 67,000 Italian troops brought in from Albania. Faced with new and overwhelming Italian forces, many of the fighters laid down their arms and returned home. Nevertheless, intense guerrilla fighting lasted until December. Fighters who remained under arms fractured into two groups. Most of them went on to join the Yugoslav Partisans, consisting of communists and those inclined towards active resistance. Those loyal to the Karađorđević dynasty and opposing communism went to become the Chetniks and turned to collaboration with Italians against the Partisans.
Traitors.
War broke out between Partisans and Chetniks during the first half of 1942. Pressured by Italians and Chetniks, the core of the Montenegrin Partisans went to Serbia and Bosnia, where they joined other Yugoslav Partisans. Fighting between Partisans and Chetniks continued throughout the war. Chetniks with Italian backing controlled most of the country from mid-1942 to April 1943. After the capitulation of Italy in September 1943, Partisans managed to take hold of most of Montenegro for a brief time, but Montenegro was soon occupied by German forces and fierce fighting continued during late 1943 and the entire of 1944. Montenegro, like the rest of Yugoslavia, was liberated by the Yugoslav Partisans in 1944.
Montenegro became one of the six constituent republics of the Communist Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Its capital became Podgorica, renamed Titograd in honour of President Josip Broz Tito. After the war, the infrastructure of Yugoslavia was rebuilt, industrialization began, and the University of Montenegro was established. Greater autonomy was established until the Socialist Republic of Montenegro ratified a new constitution in 1974. After the dissolution of the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in 1992, Montenegro remained part of a smaller Federal Republic of Yugoslavia along with Serbia. In the referendum on remaining in Yugoslavia in 1992, the turnout was 66%, with 96% of the votes cast in favour of the federation with Serbia. The referendum was boycotted by the Muslim, Albanian and Catholic minorities, as well as the pro-independence Montenegrins. The opponents claimed that the poll was organised under anti-democratic conditions, with widespread propaganda from the state-controlled media in favour of a pro-federation vote. During the 1991-95 Bosnian War and Croatian War, Montenegrin police and military forces joined Serbian troops in the attacks on Dubrovnik in Croatia. In 1996, Montenegro formed its own economic policy and adopted the German Deutschmark as its currency and subsequently adopted the euro. Subsequent governments pursued pro-independence policies and political tensions with Serbia simmered despite the political changes in Belgrade. Targets in Montenegro were bombed by NATO forces during Operation Allied Force in 1999, although the extent of these attacks was very limited in both time and area affected. In 2002, Serbia-Montenegro came to a new agreement for continued cooperation and entered into negotiations regarding the future status of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. This resulted in the Belgrade Agreement, which saw the country's transformation into a more decentralized state union named Serbia and Montenegro in 2003. The Belgrade Agreement also contained a provision delaying any future referendum on the independence of Montenegro for at least 3 years.
The status of the union between Montenegro and Serbia was decided by referendum on the Montenegrin independence on the 21st of May 2006. A total of 419,240 votes were cast, representing around 86% of the total electorate. 56% were for independence, and 45% were against. This narrowly surpassed the 55% threshold needed to validate the referendum under the rules set by the European Union. Serbia, the member states of the European Union, and the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council all recognised Montenegro's independence. On the 3rd of June 2006, the Montenegrin Parliament declared the independence of Montenegro, formally confirming the result of the referendum. In October 2016, for the day of the parliamentary election, a coup d'etat was prepared by a group of persons that included leaders of the Montenegrin opposition, Serbian nationals and Russian agents.
Here we go.
The coup was prevented. In 2017, 14 people, including two Russian nationalists and two Montenegrin opposition leaders, were indicted for their alleged roles in the coup attempt on charges such as preparing a conspiracy against the constitutional order and security of Montenegro and an attempted terrorist act. In June 2017, Montenegro formally became a member of NATO. Though Montenegro remains deeply divided over joining NATO, an event that triggered a promise of retaliatory actions on the part of the Russian government.
That is interesting.
Yes.
So Montenegro and Russia have a little bit of argy-bargy.
Just a little bit. And who likes to weigh in on Russian argy-bargy other than Mr. Trump?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny he picked on essentially an enemy of Russia.
Yeah.
To say that Montenegro is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that collusion with Russia is looking a little bit, yeah, definite there.
Look, Montenegro's been through enough. Yeah. It doesn't need any more rubbish. And this is why we named this episode Montenegro Next Generation, because it's gone through so many different name changes.
Yeah.
Who's looked after it? Who's discarded it?
Mm-hmm.
Montenegro, this is their time to be themselves. So step back, America. Yeah. Leave them alone.
Yeah, go away. Go away, Trump.
So a little bit of religion, and just for you, Mark, there's no mention of Protestantism.
Gee, thanks, Danny.
That's okay.
Okay. Montenegro has been historically at the crossroads of multiculturalism, and over centuries this has shaped its unique form of coexistence between Muslim and Christian population. Montenegrins have been historically members of the Serbian Orthodox Church, and Serbian Orthodox Christianity is the most popular religion today in Montenegro. The Montenegrin Orthodox Church was recently founded and is followed by a small minority of Montenegrins, although it is not in communion with any other Christian Orthodox Church, as it has not been officially recognised. Despite tensions between religious groups during the Bosnian War, Montenegro remained fairly stable, mainly due to its population having a historic perspective on religious tolerance and faith diversity. Religious institutions from Montenegro all have guaranteed rights and are separate from the state. The second largest religion is Islam, which amounts to 19% of the total population of the country. There is also a small Roman Catholic population, mostly Albanians with some Croats, divided between the Archdiocese of Antivari, headed by the Primate of Serbia, and the Diocese of Kotar, that is a part of the Church of Croatia.
After all that heaviness, you know what we need? Dubstepping spacemen.
Yeah.
From 2013, here's Igranka by Hussie.
Igranku, prestaje to, ne prestaje to bit za bitom, vers za versom. Mrda se cijel svijet s njom, jednim potezom i univerzum. Ajde vodi me, oslobodi me od gadnih stresova tokom godine. Ne mogu više da se paranoišem, na dobru feštu sve mi miriše. Igranka bez prestanka, vanka na podijum ili pored sama šanka. Danka sva ne tu smo, nikad nije pustoš, ništa nije frka, samo treba ući u štos. Kiki bas, zara, 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 niko neće poći utvrđenog pazara. Opet jutra u tabanim stazama s mojima, mislim ne mislim o parama.
Ne traje cijelu noć i cijeli dan, bit će još bolje, vjeruj mi. Jer mi smo stvoreni za to, vodim te, vodim te. Pođi sa nam ti, pođi sa nam se. Ova noć je ta, ne vidi se kraj.
Volim te na igranku. Treba mi fešta što neće prestat, ženska treska, komad mesna, vrućina kao u rernu na 200. Odo smo s mozgom stroboskop ljeska, bitko blesav, po glavi šiba, pregore kesa, piće mi sipaj, gradele česam, petrusin riba, danu svega da se pokidam. I vodi me neđe da glavu produvam, neđe gdje muzika dobro izuva, pa da ne staje no samo da gruva, da svu noć traje i svi da su tuna. Pritisak trpi se, krpi se s mukom, vodi me neđe da baš ne bi puko, načinjem limenku, život je čudo, ajmo na igranku, ćećemo drugo.
Ne traje cijelu noć i cijeli dan, bit će još bolje, vjeruj mi. Jer mi smo stvoreni za to, vodim te, vodim te. Pođi sa nam ti, pođi sa nam se. Ova noć je ta, ne vidi se kraj.
Vodim te na igranku,
samo nek biti. Svi su mi ođe banja i nije bitno to što svima je novčanik danak.
Samo nek bit udara, svi su mi ođe banja. Burgija vrti vazda tamo gdje ne vrti para.
Is a Montenegrin hip-hop duo from the Bay of Kotor. Its members are Dejan Dokovic from Kotor and Mario Dordovic from Herceg Novi. Sounds like a nice place, doesn't it? The group was created in the early 2000s. Nina Zizic, born 1985, is a Montenegrin singer. RTCG announced in December 2012 that Husi would represent Montenegro at the Eurovision Song Contest in Malmo, together with a secret artist. That was Nina. Igrana means the dance in English. The song came 12th in the semi-final on 41 points. Now, everyone remembers this about the Spacemen, but seriously, we need to talk about this official clip.
Everything's happening here. It looks like it starts out like a Breaking Bad scene.
It does. Like, so we've got Dejan and Mario, and they're both dressed pretty much like Jesse Pinkman and Walter White. And then this busty lady in black arrives. I don't know if they're doing some kind of weird drug deal, but there's suitcases involved, like those little metal suitcases. Anyway. Then they suddenly start performing in a concert thing, and the busty lady is then joined by another lady, and they pretty much have a fight slash dance off, where there's lots of bum wiggling. It's quite interesting. Then we have, I've put down cosplayers, question mark.
I think it was more of a masquerade.
Was it?
Sort of thing. There was okay. It was half masquerade people. With masks and
there was
I don't
a marching band.
Yeah, I thought it was a mixture.
Marching. Oh, I don't know.
It's very bizarre.
Then there's a cage fight between two women.
Yeah, as you do,
which is very exciting. Yeah. And then just to even it out, we've got some sweaty steelwork men. You know, working with their power tools.
I'm kind of reminded of a scene early on in The Simpsons where there is a scene where there are buff steelworker men in, like, you know, really tight shirts, and then they take their shirts off and they go, "Oh, darling."
What season was that? Oh, look, don't forget, I stopped watching The Simpsons in season one.
Very early.
But... you know, well, then very early.
So this clip has pretty much something for everyone.
Look, as I called it when we were watching it, it's a box of favourites. Mm. There's a little bit for everyone.
Hey, there was a busty lady for me.
That's right. I'm not really sure if I'm with the dressing up or the sweaty steelworkers. I don't know, but I did notice one of them didn't have any front teeth. Look, nothing against him, but get some teeth, please. Okay, I'm just going to whip out my phone because...
Whip it good.
Eurovision Twitter is good Twitter. And we've been tweeting Eurovision for quite some time.
Yes.
We have a friend called Andrew.
Yes.
And Andrew is very lovely. And he likes to tweet a bit of Eurovision when it comes around. This is a tweet actually from 2016. Remember, Montenegro are the country that gave us rapstronauts 1 year. They get Eurovision.
Rapstronauts.
Rapstronauts.
Now there's a hashtag I can get on board with.
Pretty much. So yes, if you don't remember, 2013, Montenegro sent spacemen. Now, this is probably one of the most epic stage performances because it sticks in your mind.
Mm.
Because you're sitting there for the full 3 minutes going, what the actual is going on? So we've got the boys as spacemen, and they're actually in like full space suits, and they lift up their visors to sing. And it's kind of got the smoke machine happening again, which is very nice. It must have been left over from our first song. and then Nina springs out of nowhere, like somewhere below the stage. She suddenly just arrives and she sings her bit. And she's kind of dressed like she's come out of some low-budget sci-fi movie.
I think she was just the Borg coming to assimilate everyone.
She did kind of have something attached to her ear, which was kind of...
And she had an eye...
something was going on there. But maybe she was a Borg.
Yeah.
And then we're finished off with green and yellow staging. We actually have a lovely follower on Twitter who their handle is Igranka.
Hi, Igranka.
Hello, Igranka. Hopefully you're listening because I always get a bit of a chuckle when I see your handle go past in my timeline. I can't really do a segue from... rapstronauts to geography, climate and politics.
If we were talking about the geography, climate and politics of the moon or Mars, it would be a good segue, but
no. We're not. So no. We'll just stick to what we know.
Okay. Internationally, Montenegro borders Croatia, Bosnia and Herz, Serbia, Kosovo and Albania. Montenegro ranges from high peaks along its borders with Serbia, Kosovo and Albania, a segment of the karst of the Western Balkan Peninsula, to a narrow coastal plain that is only 1.5 to 6 kilometres wide. The mountains of Montenegro include some of the most rugged terrain in Europe, averaging more than 2,000 metres in elevation. One of the country's notable peaks is Bobotov Kuk in the Durmitor Mountains, which reaches a height of 2,500 metres. Owing to the hyper-humid climate on their western sides, the Montenegrin mountain ranges were among the most ice-eroded parts of the Balkan Peninsula during the last glacial period. The climate of Montenegro is Mediterranean on the coast, with heavy rains from September to April, while moving inland it becomes progressively more continental, with colder winters also due to the higher altitude. On the coast, the climate is mild but rainy in autumn and winter, while in summer it's hot and sunny, though tempered by the breeze. Winter is mild, with average temperatures in January around 7 degrees. Cold air masses of Russian origin may reach the coast, bringing a dry downslope wind which descends from the mountains and lowers the temperature but generally do not bring snow except in limited areas where the wind is channeled through mountain passes instead of descending from the ridge. Can you see Vladimir Putin coming in the cold season?
Descending from the ridge?
Yeah, descending from the ridge.
As long as he arrives on a horse and is bare-chested.
The Bay of Kotor is sheltered and mild, but in the cold season the temperature drops suddenly when the Bura blows, a cold wind coming from the interior. In the capital Podgorica, located in the plains, but at some distance from the sea, the climate is still quite mild, but a little more continental than on the coast. So that winter is a bit cold, with an average in January at 5 degrees, while summer is hot and sunny, often with torrid days, heavy rains are possible from October to March.
Wind Machine Podcast.
The Constitution of Montenegro describes the state as a civic, democratic, ecological state of social justice based on the reign of law. Montenegro is an independent and sovereign republic that proclaimed its new constitution on the 22nd of October 2007. The President of Montenegro is the head of state, elected for a period of 5 years through direct elections. The President represents the country abroad, promulgates laws of ordinance, calls elections for Parliament, proposes candidates for Prime Minister, President, and justices of the Constitutional Court to the Parliament. The President also proposes the calling of a referendum to Parliament, grants amnesty for criminal offences prescribed by national law, confirms decoration and awards, and performs other constitutional duties as a member of the Supreme Defence Council. The Government of Montenegro is the executive branch of government of authority. The government is headed by the Prime Minister and consists of a Deputy Prime Minister as well as other ministers. The Parliament of Montenegro is a unicameral legislative body. It passes laws, ratifies treaties, appoints the Prime Minister, ministers and other justices of courts, adopts the budget and performs other duties as established by the Constitution. Parliament can pass a vote of no confidence in the government by a simple majority. The present Parliament consists of 81 seats, with 39 seats held by a coalition for a European Montenegro after the 2012 parliamentary election. The military of Montenegro is a fully professional standing army under the Ministry of Defence and is comprised of the Montenegrin Ground Army, Montenegrin Navy and the Montenegrin Air Force, along with special forces. Conscription was abolished in 2006. The military currently maintains a force of 1,920 active duty members. The bulk of its equipment and forces were inherited from the armed forces of the State Union of Serbia and Montenegro, as Montenegro contained the entire coastline of the former Union. It retained practically the entire naval force. Montenegro became NATO's 29th member in June 2017, despite Russia's objections. Look, Russia just keeps popping up like a bad zit.
Uh-huh. You know what Montenegro doesn't have?
What?
A space force.
It does not have a space force.
And you know who should lead that space force?
Oh, let me know.
I reckon it should be our man Slavko Kelzek, who sang the song Space from 2017.
Wet dreams while nightmares I surrender. Come into me from within. We can be as one in the sin. The spaceship is ready to blow. Drunk in love, I'm gonna explode.
us we can be as one.
Slavko Kelzec, born 1985, is a Montenegrin actor, singer, and songwriter, and quite a nice guy. Slavko studied at the Academy of Performing Arts at Cetinje and later became part of the ensemble of the Montenegrin National Theatre. He played various roles in theatre and movies, performed at various music events, but also at European Pride shows in Tel Aviv, Stockholm, London, and Madrid. In the promotional season for the 2018 Eurovision Song Contest, Slavko was invited to perform at both the Australian preview parties in Sydney and Melbourne, making him the first artist from the contest to attend these events, where we were in attendance.
That's right.
Yes. Slavko released an autobiography called Moja Istina, My Truth, documenting his experience at Eurovision 2017 and following it up with the X Factor UK. Slavko's song came 16th in the semi-final on 56 points.
I think it's a good time to just say a huge thank you to ESC fan OGIE Australia for pulling off a massive coup of getting Slavko here.
Yeah.
And of course, huge thank you to Lisa Jane Lewis, who got him on a plane.
Yes, thank you.
And sewed in his long hair tail. What do we call it?
Braid, hair braid?
Do we just call it a braid? I like to call it a hair tail. Because there's something about Slavko that kind of screams centaur to me. There's something about him. Anyway, we need to talk about this official clip.
Yeah.
We're in a quarry. It's okay. We're not in Wales. This is not Doctor Who.
I was waiting for that.
Slavko is pretty much undressed, but is in a blue sheet while he sings in the quarry. It's quite sexual. The whole thing is quite sexual, really. Then he kind of dances with himself, which is awesome because he's flanked by himself. And then there's some bits where he's wearing a crown.
Yes.
King Slavko. King Slavko of hugs.
Yeah.
He is such a good hugger.
Ugh.
I can't handle it. That hug I got from him. Well, actually, I got two hugs from him. We both got two hugs from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah, there's something about this man. At Eurovision, it was more of a performance art piece for me personally. I think maybe some people didn't get it. I got it. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. We start with a comet shooting across the back of the stage. Slavko's back in his blue sheet. Yes. But now has a mesh top. Then we have the almost Bucks Fizz reveal for the glitter pants. Then we have a bit of floor action, which is quite interesting, actually, because what they did was they had the camera on the crane that came through the lights, and Slavko... Real Slavko was kind of on his own face. It was quite magnificent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Helicopter Slavko.
Yeah.
Which, if you type in Slavko into Google and do an image search or a GIF search,
yeah,
that's pretty much the top GIF. I'm really proud of Slavko for becoming such an icon of Eurovision, regardless of his result.
Yeah, yeah. He's so thankful to his fans.
I loved what he said when he found out that he was awarded Barbara Dex.
Yeah.
And it was like, an award is an award. And that's true.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those people that is just so lovely that he didn't even find Barbara Dex a bad thing.
No, no.
He's really fantastic, and I hope that one day he takes that ridiculous trip back here again, because he was really only here for a few days.
Yeah, yeah.
And did, you know, I had two little mini concerts for the fan club, and then he was gone again.
I know.
So hopefully, maybe he can come out again and spend a little bit more time, explore a little bit more of our country.
Yeah, the kangaroos, the koalas, he loves that sort of
stuff. Oh, absolutely! And he did go to the zoo. He went to Melbourne Zoo. So next time we go to Melbourne Zoo, we'll be, Slavko went here. Yay!
Now, since this podcast is about Eurovision.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Far out.
Danny, please tell us about Montenegro in Eurovision.
Okay. Montenegro has participated in the Eurovision Song Contest 10 times. The country debuted in 2007. Previously, it had participated as the part of Yugoslavia, both as the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia from 1961 to 1991 and part of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in 1992, and as Serbia and Montenegro from 2004 to 2006. Since 2007, Montenegro so far has managed mediocre results, boo, with qualifying twice for the grand final. Funnily enough, they didn't make the podcast. Uh-huh. It has contributed to some rather good results for ex-Yugoslavia and Serbia and Montenegro, managing fourth and seventh place. 2009 saw the country's third best result to date, finishing 11th place in the first semi-final, but was not enough to secure them a place in the final. Funnily enough, that song's coming up. In November 2009, TRCG announced that Montenegro would withdraw from the 2010 contest due to financial difficulties of the broadcaster. They submitted an application for 2011, which was held in Dusseldorf. The potential representative for Montenegro would have been required to find sponsors to fund their participation in Germany themselves. But in December 2010, Montenegro decided not to participate on financial grounds. In 2011, the head of RTCG revealed that Montenegro would participate in the 2012 contest to be held in Baku. And he also went on to say that he saw Montenegro at every Eurovision Song Contest to come. In 2014, Montenegro qualified for the grand final for the first time in its history with Sergej Krikovic's Morje Svet. In 2015, Montenegro qualified for the grand final a second time with Knez, who performed the song Adido, which was their best ever result, finishing 13th place. Also, Serbia and Montenegro were going to perform in 2006. Something went very wrong, but they were allowed to still vote, even though they didn't participate. That was their last official year as Serbia and Montenegro, but they didn't perform that year, which is always funny when you watch 2006 and you're like, did I miss Serbia and Montenegro? Oh, no, that's right. They didn't perform. Since 2007, Montenegro has performed in English four times and six times in Montenegrin. The country usually gives their top points to Serbia, Russia, Italy, and Albania. Funny that. And receive their most points from Slovenia, Armenia, Albania, and North Macedonia. Sounds kind of groovy, doesn't it? It's kind of like North Baldwin.
North Melbourne.
North Melbourne.
Mm.
Mm, interesting.
You know what is interesting?
What, this song that you'll never get out of your head?
Pretty much. From 2009, here's Just Get Out of My Life by Andrea Dunirovic.
All the reasons I must agree. It's a dangerous
Andreja Danirović, born 1985, is a Montenegrin singer and a student of the Sečni Music Academy. Her breakthrough came at the Sunkane Skale Festival in 2002. She then had considerable successes at regional festivals, including the Serbo-Montenegrin and Montenegrin National Finals, for selecting the Eurovision Song Contest entry. Her first album, Andreja, was released in 2006. In 2015, Andreja announced the Montenegrin votes of the contest, but her song came 11th in the semi-final on 44 points.
Look, if you're going to come a certain place in the semi-final, look, 11th is pretty good.
Yeah,
you only just didn't make it.
It's not heartbreaking at all.
No, not at all. No, no, not heartbreaking at all. But you got to think of yourself, it's a bit like when you look at the football ladder and you think, yeah, I'm the top of the ones that didn't make it. You know, in your ninth, it's like, yeah, came ninth. There's three storylines in this official clip. And basically, Andreja, I think, is trying to get away from the same guy, but in different things. It's quite interesting. She's in jail and he's her jailer. She's kind of like this fitness person and he's the gym guy.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of like the girlfriend of the hotshot who has the nice car.
Right.
And they kind of cycle through those storylines and it's very kind of bright and flashy and I'm so glad I don't have epilepsy. Wow.
Yeah.
The Eurovision stage, we've got sort of a purple and blue staging. Andreja's in a very short dress. And, of course, is a hot guy. Now, watching Hot Guy, I'm pretty sure that he is actually a classical ballet dancer.
Yeah,
because he's far too graceful to be human. And then there's this weird section where they pull out a desk chair and she sings from it.
Oh, maybe she was getting a bit tired.
Maybe she was. Look, 3 minutes can be a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. This song, once you hear it, it's a sticker. It'll stick. And the funny thing is, for this podcast, we've gone kind of hard rock, then we've gone soft rock, then we've gone rapping, then we've gone pure pop, and then even purer pop.
Yeah, such an eclectic mix.
Montenegro can do a lot of things. And I know a few of our listeners will be like, why did you not do 2014 and 2015? It's the luck of the draw. There's only five spots.
Yeah.
So, still good songs. Mind you, 2015 kind of reminds me of a creepy uncle, but that's just me.
Yes.
We've nearly come to the end.
Yes, another one.
The next episode will be based on whichever country we draw out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom. All countries with five songs or more from 2000 onwards get a turn. We only have three left.
Spain, Belarus, or Lithuania. Which one will it be?
Can I have a drum roll, please? Jun Alessand. Can you please confirm that we have a valid result? Look, you don't have many episodes to go until you can have a rest.
Then I can retire.
No, you're not retiring because you're coming back next year for season two. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
But there may be a couple of months off for you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so just let us know if this is a valid result.
Yes, Danny, that is a valid result. Can you announce the winner, please?
Episode 45 of the Win Machine podcast. We're going to Belarus.
I love Belarus.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting. Now, okay, seriously, Belarus has done some really interesting. Now, I'm not saying interesting to be mean. I'm actually saying interesting to be interesting.
Yes.
Don't misquote me. They've done some very interesting songs over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had Naked Guy with Wolves.
Ivan.
We had those gorgeous people from last year who sang in Belarusian for the first time. We've also had I Love Belarus. We've had Cheesecake.
Ooh,
there's
cheesecake,
so
yes.
many songs. Like, it's very weird because even this year could make it with Alex Eve. Like, you just don't know. This is going to be hard to make a five.
It's a tough one. It's definitely a tough one.
I do love a bit of cheesecake, though.
Well, for me, that's in. Like.
What about Ivan?
Oh, I don't know.
You never know. Ivan might actually make it just to troll me.
Oh, God. Okay.
May I have the legal announcement, please?
We at Wind Machine Podcast have taken every legal step allowed to us to present this podcast with a current APRA license, and we claim fair use for the music played. We are not affiliated with the EBU, its partners, or SBS. We are just fans.
Okay, so other than the fact that our friend Tim has a little bit of family from Belarus, what can you tell me about Belarus?
From Milan to Minsk. Minsk being the Belarusian capital.
That's right. Now, the thing is, this is one thing we're going to have to figure out in 2 weeks. Is it Belarusian or is it Belarusian? I think we're going to have to ask Tim.
Okay.
Because he is the guy to ask, I think. Because I've always, especially during like Olympics or something, when Bruce McAvaney says Belarusian, I always feel like, do you think people from Belarus get a bit annoyed that Russian is also invading their name?
Who knows?
Who knows? So we know it's Minsk. What else? Exactly.
Cool flag.
Yeah, cool flag. But can you think of anything else?
No.
Well, it's going to be a good 2 weeks then. I'm sure as soon as Fleur listens to this, she'll go straight on our Facebook page and tell us stuff. I've been Danny Tregoning, and you can find me on Twitter, DanieTreg.
And I'm Mark Perkins. You can find me on Twitter as well, at MarkPerkinsVO.
You can follow the Twitter account, which is WinMachinePod.
Like us on Facebook.
We've recently joined Instagram. Like, it took us
two years.
But we thought, hey, we haven't kind of gone into that kind of social media, so we thought we would. It's going to play an important part for season two. And yes, season two is coming, and it's going to be a slightly different format to season one. But of course, it'll still be pretty good because it'll be us and you, dear listeners.
Coming 2019. You can also find us on the various podcast apps like TuneIn, Podbean, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, and any other tunes app thing that you can think of.
Jason actually found us on an Android one today. And of course, not being an Android person, I have no idea, but we've appeared on that as well.
Oh. Anyway, you can take a look at our website as well, which is every single episode we've ever done, at windmachinepodcast.com.
So, 2 weeks' time. Yeah, thanks for holding on for a little bit longer. You know, like, birthday happened, which took up a whole weekend.
You finally caught up to me.
I did. We're now both 41.
Woo.
Crazy. So 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with Belarus. Until then,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.